Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you would turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. My lesson today is titled, Be Alert. Now, if you recall last week, we were talking about the need to be ready for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that Jesus is coming one day to take us all home to be with Him. But then when he goes into chapter 5, he says, But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And so Paul says, you don't need me to write concerning times and seasons. You don't need me to write about events that are going to precede the coming of Jesus, because there are no events that precede the coming of Jesus. Jesus can come at any moment, at any time, and we're called to be ready. In verse 6, Paul says, Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And so constant preparedness is the Christian's obligation. We are to constantly be prepared for Jesus to come back. We need to be alert. We need to be aware. There was a college professor. Every day he would come to class. He would pull out a tennis ball out of his jacket, set it on the podium, and then he would give a lecture. And when he was done, he'd pick that tennis ball, put it back up in his coat. And he did that every day, and no one knew why he did that. Until one day he was giving a lecture, and one of the students fell asleep. So he took that tennis ball, and he hit him right between the eyes and woke him up. Well, the next day he came to class, he pulled out a baseball and set it there. So no one went to sleep. Everyone was alert. They were aware of what could happen if you're not ready, right? And so I want us to look at five reasons why we need to be alert while we wait for Jesus. Reason number one, we need to be alert because of the aggressiveness of Satan. And so let me just say, first of all, that I believe in a personal devil in the same way that I believe in a personal savior. You see, the devil is a real person. Satan is not, evil personified. And some people look at Satan that he is simply evil personified. But the Bible says he's not evil personified. He is a real person. He's not a mythological creature. He is not a figment of one's imagination. He is a real person. And the Bible says he is our enemy and that he is very aggressive. All right? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so every time you see Satan in the Bible, he is aggressively attacking someone. You can go to Genesis chapter 3. He attacked our first parents, Adam and Eve, right? And he caused the fall of humanity. And so we see him right off the bat, aggressive and attacking. And you can turn to the book of Job. In Job chapters 1 and chapter 2, what is Satan doing? He is aggressively attacking Job. He has turned Job's life literally upside down. You look in Matthew chapter 4, for example, we see Satan attacking Jesus. So he goes after Jesus and he tempts Jesus for a period of 40 days and 40 nights. And then when Jesus was gathered together with his disciples in that upper room, the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. And then Jesus told Judas, Go do what you're going to do. And Jesus knew what that meant. Judas knew what that meant, but the other disciples didn't. But he was going to betray Jesus. And so when we see Satan in the Bible, we need to know that he is a real person and that he is aggressive and he is the enemy of God and God's people. And also, one of the reasons that I believe he is so aggressive is due to the shortness of time. He doesn't have a lot of time to do all the evil that he wants to do. So I want to turn your attention to Revelation 12 for just a moment. just a couple of verses in Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. In verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death." Notice verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." So Satan knows his days are numbered, and he is going to do all the evil that he can in the shortest amount of time possible. And so he's going to be extremely aggressive, and for that reason, we need to be alert. We need to be prepared, lest we become dinner for him. You see, Satan is in back of every anti-Christian endeavor, whether it's crime, communism, cults, modernism, drugs, abusing alcohol, immorality. And this is the reason why in Scripture, Paul says that we need to suit up in the armor of God. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for Satan when he attacks us, because he is aggressive. So it's one of the reasons why Paul says we need to be alert. But there's a second reason we need to be alert, because of the increase of compromise in the church. There is compromise when it comes to biblical doctrine and sin. You see people today, for example, caving on the issue of gays, where there are some church leaders in America who are wanting gays to have a place in the church. Now, they can come, right? But if they practice their lifestyle, they're not to be actively involved in the church. But if they want to come and hear the Word of God and listen to what God says, that's fine. But we can't accept this sinful lifestyle. We simply cannot do that. And so we see people compromising on biblical doctrines, all kinds of biblical doctrines. But also, you know, when it comes to sin itself. And there are so many believers today that that are simply dishonest. They're dishonest when it comes to paying their taxes, for example. You know, they don't write down everything that they made. And when we do that, when we falsify a document like that, we simply lie. And that's wrong. Or some Christians maybe make money under the table and don't report that. Again, that's illegal. And it's wrong. Or you have Christians who have unethical business practices, whatever it might be, or watching and reading and listening to unwholesome entertainment. So think about that. How can I sit and watch a sinful movie and be entertained by that when it's the very sins that put Jesus on the cross? I mean, think about that. We sometimes go to be entertained by the very sins that crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And some say, you know, well, it's not all that bad. You preachers are always looking for something to hark on, to holler about, to scream about. Listen, if you can look at the cross and say that sin is nothing, then something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong, right? You can't say that sin is not bad when you look at the cross, because the cross says sin is bad. It says God's good, but it says sin is bad. That's what the cross says. And James writes, you know, he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God." You know, if things keep going the way that they're going, it won't be long before we'll cry out as David did in the long ago, when David said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. I hope and pray that does not happen. But because of compromise, that becomes a reality. And so we need to be very careful and alert, because there is compromise today in the church. But there's a third reason why we need to be alert, and that's because of the prevalence of indifference in the church. So a college professor wrote on the board the word apathy, and one of the students was trying to pronounce it, and he was saying apathy, apathy. And he said to his friend, apathy, what does apathy mean? He said, I don't know and I don't care. Right? Well, that's what indifference is. I don't know and I don't care. Right? And that's where many are. And it's becoming more and more difficult today to move people with the preaching of the Word of God. They simply are indifferent. They don't care. You can preach and people go to sleep, or their eyes glaze over because they're just indifferent. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care. They don't value the assembling of the saints or Bible study or the proclamation of the Word of God. You know, it's amazing when you go to some places in the world, they will sit and listen to the Word of God for hours and hours and hours. You know, for example, there are places in Africa where that's true. That's because they don't have all the entertainment and all the things we have. And so they value the Word of God and what it says, and they're looking for something in life. But this is also true in Haiti. It's amazing how long those people will just sit and listen to preaching. Whereas in America, you go over 30 minutes and you lose just about everybody. You know, everybody just kind of zones off, you know, and they're simply not listening. But it was Job who said long ago, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured his words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Is that true for you? Is that true for you? That you value the Word of God over your necessary food? I hope and pray that it is. It needs to be. We worry about eating physically, right? We worry about our bodies, and we want to make sure that we eat well. But we need to feed our souls too, because man is not just a physical being. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so man is a physical being, but he's also a spiritual being. And he needs the words of Scripture to nourish his life. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, you know, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. If we don't have that desire and we don't value the Word of God above our necessary food, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt. I'll turn your attention for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I want to show you what indifference does. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, notice what the Hebrew writer says here. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason have used their senses to exercise to discern both good and evil. And so Paul, or whoever's writing the Hebrews here, he's letting them know, you know, by this time you should be a teacher in the Word of God, but you're not. Instead, you're a babe in Christ, and you need to be taught all over again the basic principles of Jesus Christ. And so he says this to their shame. They ought to be teachers, but they're not teachers. They're babes. And that's the case with many today in the church. They simply are babes, and they've been babes for years and years and years and years, and that's because they're not taking in the Word of God. And so people who are indifferent, you know, they're indifferent to church services as well, and they don't see the value of assembling, of coming together with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And as a consequence, our faith is stunted, and we need this time together. And we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to always value the Word of God. Because many today simply do not. And it shows up in their Bible study. You know, I mean, how much time did you spend this last week in the Bible? How much time did you let God speak to you last week? And think about it. And so that might have a whole lot to do with where you are spiritually. Right, with the amount of word that you take in. And if you're not taking any in, you are digressing. You are going backwards in your faith. And so we have to be aware because indifference is a reality in the church today. But there's a fourth reason we need to be ready. Because of the presence of spiritual defeat seen among Christians today. Believers are slaves to worldly habits. They are puppets of lust. Believers today are poisoned by jealousy, by unforgiving spirits, by immorality and greed. And the Bible says and makes it clear that Christ set us free from all that mess. We don't have to be enslaved to sin. But many today are. And it's sad because you don't have to be that way. The Bible says that we're supposed to take off the old man and put on the new man in Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about this beginning at verse 5. We'll run down to verse 10. He says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves have put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And so as believers, we're supposed to be taking off that old man and incorporating the new man. So it's taking off, putting on, taking off, putting on. We're to be making grounds, but there are so many Christians today that just are experiencing spiritual defeat. They are simply puppets of lust, and they're doing whatever the flesh wants. And the Bible says we're not to live that way, and we don't have to live that way, that we've been given victory over sin in our lives, and we need to live like we've been given victory over sin in our lives, rather than letting sin dominate us and control us. So we need to be very careful. But then there's a fifth reason we need to be alert today, and that's because of the alarming degree of fruitlessness seen among believers. And I want to turn your attention to John chapter 15 for just a moment. John 15. I want us to look at verses 1 through 8 here. So beginning at verse 1, John writes, these are the words of Jesus. "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. And so we're not saved simply to fill pews, right? We are saved to bear fruit. That's what God expects. He expects there to be fruit from our life because we're connected to the vine, the true vine, who is Jesus. We, the branches, are expected to bear much fruit. Every Christian should strive, I believe, to be a good witness for Jesus Christ. Every one of us have been given the responsibility of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Or go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are not nearly enough Christians today carrying out the Great Commission. We're about other things, but we need to be about the main thing, and the main thing is reaching out to the lost, because people that don't know Christ, when He comes again, they will be lost. They will be separated from Him forever in hell. And so, you know, I wonder how many people will be able to say, as David said in Psalm 142 and verse 4, no man cared for my soul. Are there people in your life that can say that? Do you have loved ones who can say, this person doesn't care for my soul? Are there people you work with who could echo these words, no one cared for my soul? We need to care about souls. Souls are valuable. Christ died for the lost so that they could be saved and be in a relationship with Him. But the reality is, evangelism has been put on the back burner for most believers. It's not a part of their life. They're not going to evangelize. They never have evangelized, and there's no plans to do it in the future. They're simply not going to do it. And this is a tragedy because fruit is what God wants. Now, obviously, that's not the only fruit. And so your life is to exhibit all the qualities of godliness, right? And so your life should shine bright because of righteousness and goodness and faith. And so God wants all kinds of fruit from your life, but the fruit that I see that is so lacking today is evangelism. Christians simply are not serious about the Great Commission. God is serious about it. He sent Jesus to the cross so that all human beings could be in a relationship with God. But the way that message gets out is through you and through me. And if I don't share that word with the lost, then the lost are not going to hear the gospel, and they're going to die lost. And so this is a reason that we need to be alert and be aware because of the fruitlessness seen among believers today. And I don't want you to think that, well, as long as the other fruit is in our life, this doesn't matter that much. It matters all, right? Because the Great Commission is the work that God gave us to do. That is the primary job that we Christians have in this world, and that is to share the gospel with those who don't know Christ. That's our main task, our main job, our main duty. When you read the book of Acts, it's crystal clear that this is what we're supposed to be about. But so many Christians today are not about the Great Commission. And so we need to be aware. Time is running out. Jesus could come at any moment. And if your loved ones and your family or your friends or your neighbors, if they die lost because you didn't tell them, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy anyway you look at it. We need to care for people, love people. And if we truly care and love people, I believe we'll get the message out to them. So we've looked at five reasons today why we need to be sober and be alert as we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the aggressiveness of Satan, because of the increase of compromise in the church, because of the prevalence of indifference in the church, because of the presence of spiritual defeat, And lastly, because of the alarming degree of fruitlessness seen among believers today. And so, I encourage you to be alert. To be alert. You're given five good reasons why you should be alert. I hope you will be alert. There was a woman, her name was Miss Betsy, and she was a believer in Jesus, and she went down to the store one day, and there were some guys that were just kind of harassing her and giving her a hard time about her faith and said, "Hey, Miss Betsy, I heard Jesus is coming. Hey, Miss Betsy, you better be ready because Jesus might come at any moment." And she looked at those boys and said, "I don't need to be ready. I stays ready." And so what about you? Do you stays ready for Jesus? Hopefully you will. And for those of you that don't know Jesus Christ, you've never been washed in the blood of Christ. If Jesus comes and you have not been washed of your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be lost. And so there's no salvation outside of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me." And so today, if you don't know Jesus, we urge you to come. As we sing this song, just come and say, "I want to know Jesus," and we will help you with that. So whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.